Father God, we just want to thank you so much for this opportunity to be under your word again this morning. We just pray for Derek as he preaches the word. Pray that you'd fill him with your spirit and all the words that he says and speaks, it would come from you, and that we would be blessed and encouraged. Lord, would you just guide us? And in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Good morning, church. Welcome, visitors. It is good to have each of you here with us. I'll just move it out of the way. This week I was looking at what I should share, seeking God on it, and I came across a quote throughout the week, and it was a deciding factor of kind of maybe which way to go. I was looking at speaking about being passionate for God, passionate for the kingdom, or a Bible verse that would say zealous for good works. And the quote I heard, I cannot quote it word for word because I heard it, I do not know who said it, and I could not find it anywhere afterwards, was, when I hear the news in the morning, do I wake up with fear of the future? Or do I hear the news and I go on my day with my day packing my bags for the weekend? Or do I hear the news and does it prompt me to go to God with prayer and with fasting? We are called to be a people zealous for good works. We are called to be a people who are passionate for the kingdom. But there's a foundation to that that must be in place before. Otherwise, it'll become a dead works gospel. And the foundation is intimacy. Intimacy with God. I'm going to be spending some time in two chapters, Matthew chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to be contrasting the two a little. Matthew chapter 4 is where I got my points from, but I might be spending as much time from Matthew chapter 7. And as we look at Matthew chapter 4, it is broken into four sections. The first section is the temptation of Jesus. He goes out into the wilderness. He is tempted by the devil. And he comes out of the wilderness, and the second point is Jesus starts his ministry. And then the third point is he calls his disciples, and the last part is he heals many people. So I'm not going to speak about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. I'm going to skip that part of this chapter completely. And we're going to look at he starts his ministry, calling his disciples, and he's healing many people. Recently, God's been teaching me what it means to be intimate. And if I go back earlier in my life, I really viewed God as I needed to serve him. I had to do this. So I'd get involved with this ministry and that ministry, teach Sunday school here, do this there. And I was living as a servant. And God, in recent years, started to teach me to live as a son. That he actually loves me as his son. I am his. Yes, you serve him, but you serve him because he's your father. And recently he's been, and this summer, been teaching me that I'm also his wife. We are his bride. So if you look at the difference, if you have a servant is allowed to go into his master's bedroom and make the bed. A son can go in there and sit on the bed and they can have conversation, but it's only the bride that can go into the bed. It is only the bride that can go into the master's chambers. So I've got 3 points this morning as we look through Matthew chapter 4 in contrast to Matthew chapter 7. Point number one is intimacy. Point number two is new birth. And point number three is ministry is a byproduct. So intimacy, new birth, and ministry is a byproduct. We'll start by reading Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to jump in at verse 12, and we'll read through the end. Matthew 4, verse 12. Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. So this is the prophecy. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and if I'm not pronouncing it right, you guys can pronounce it to yourself. the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began preaching, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets, and they followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. So we're going to look through here. The very onset here, Jesus is starting his ministry. John the Baptist has been arrested. And up until this point, we see very little, just a few glimpses of Jesus' life here on earth. One of them is he's 12 years old. He's in the temple teaching the Pharisees, the scribes. And another one is back one chapter when Jesus is baptized. And he meets John the Baptist out in the wilderness. He's a voice crying from the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. And Jesus comes to him and is baptized. When he comes up out of the water, the heavens break open, and there's a voice, "Behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus knew his identity as a beloved Son. He was 100% flesh and 100% God, deity. And so often, I discredit his humanity because of his deity. And we have to realize that he also lived in the same flesh and blood that we did. He dealt with some of the same stuff that we are dealing with. So his identity is 100% in his Father, in the deity, in God. And that is the onset now. John the Baptist has been arrested. The way has been prepared, and Jesus is now ready to start his ministry. So that is where we're coming into here in Matthew chapter 4. Throughout Christ's entire ministry, he continued to escape. He continued to get away from the people to spend time with the Father. He did that for years leading up to here, and then as you read through the Gospels, he did that multiple times. And in fact, I believe he did it shortly right after this, before the Sermon on the Mount. He continued to escape to be intimate with his Father. His entire ministry was based upon his intimacy with God. How does that look in my life? How does that look in your life? When we go about our lives, when we go about serving people, those around us, with who God has brought into your life, do we escape to get away from people? Do we escape to get away with God? Do we know God as our husband? Do we know Christ as our husband? Or do we see him as our master? Maybe you see him as your father. But do we realize that he also wants to gaze upon us, and we can gaze upon him with no purpose other than to get to know Jesus better? Identity is a result of intimacy. So this morning, if you're struggling with identity, of knowing who you are in Christ, who does Christ call me to be? Identity is a result of intimacy. So my encouragement there is to spend more time with the Father, to escape into his presence, to lay aside all of the stuff. Don't worry about the people that need you so bad, but actually just say no and escape to the Father. and spend time with him. We're going to come back to Matthew chapter 4. Through my studies, I ended up in Matthew 7 as well, and we're going to contrast the two and kind of see how man so often views it when we look at things from the flesh and God's desire for our lives. Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to read at 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So what is the will of God? The will of God, John chapter 6, I'm going to read it, verse 40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. The will of God is that you can look upon the Father and that you will believe in him. That word look refers to being gazing upon. Imagine a couple, husband, wife, and you go out on a date and you look at each other across the table. You gaze at each other. You don't care if the table next to you got peas instead of beans. You don't care if you got peas instead of beans or if you got salad instead of whatever. You're gazing upon the person with intent and with purpose. You're getting to know your bride, your spouse. You're spending time with each other to know them. And that is the same way. That is the will of God, is that you will come into his presence and look upon him. It's not looking with I'm going to view what you're doing and I'm going to watch from afar off, but it's actually you're leaning over the table and you're looking with intent and with purpose to get to know him better. You're not bringing any agendas. You're not bringing any lists of things. You're just coming to get to know him, and he wants to get to know you. Many times when we read this Matthew chapter 7, we can look at it out of fear, almost like, okay, if we can't, and it doesn't say we can't do that. The Bible actually says you will do that, but if that's not it, what is it? If it's not about what you're doing in this life, what is it about? And it is about your relationship with Jesus Christ. So often when we look at things from our human perspective, we look at ministries, we look at signs and wonders, well, they must have a lot of faith because it is by faith. Or they must have, and we get it all backwards. We start looking at ministry, and then we look at new birth, and then maybe, just maybe, we look at their intimacy with God. But Jesus is saying that he wants to look at our intimacy with him. That is the most important thing. And as we look through the scriptures this morning, it is more important that you are intimate with God than it is that you have these works, signs, and wonders. It is more important that you know Jesus Christ as your husband, that you are his bride, than it is that you're reaching souls. It is more important. It is not worth losing your own soul and not knowing Jesus than it is to have this whole trail of ministry and of works and of things that we look to. Jesus, here in Matthew chapter 7, does not defute what this guy has done. In fact, he knows that. These people who will say, Lord, Lord, we did this. And he agrees. They did do that. He's not defuting it. But I wonder how many times when Jesus will hear that, he's like, I heard of all this stuff. I've heard of what you've been doing. And yet I never seen you. I never seen you come into my chambers. I never seen your face across the table to have a date with me. I heard of all this stuff. The only time you came in my presence was when you came with a honey-do list. I need finances for my ministry. I need wisdom to speak into this situation. I need abilities. I need this person in my life needs a miracle. And then we leave again, and we leave the presence of God. And God is saying, I don't want that as the foremost. The very foremost, what I want is you to come into my presence and gaze upon my face, to look at me, to watch me, to know me, look upon me with purpose and with intent, to date me. That's what God's wanting. The rest of it will happen, but it's going to be a byproduct. It's going to be a result of your intimacy with God. We're going to back up again to Matthew chapter 4. So if I'm bouncing between the two, I wasn't sure which one to settle on, so I brought both of them in, so I apologize for that. I grouped them in a few different, so 12 through 17. We're going to back up to we're just going to jump in at 15 and 16. Verse 16, so this promise, it is a prophecy that has been fulfilled. I also believe that it is for people today. And I'll read it here. There's a people dwelling in the darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. This promise is for us today as well, for people around us, people who are dwelling in a darkness. The light can shine upon them. And I believe that should be the primary focus of your ministry. And that will follow out of your intimacy. But it is not worth. It is not even worth getting involved with ministry. And I'm saying that like, don't even bother stepping into ministry if you do not have intimacy. If you do not know God as your husband. And if you are not spending time with him and with him alone. For the sole purpose of getting to know him. Not for intercession for other people. That will come. But spend time with him just to know him. Jesus starts his ministry with a call to repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That call to repentance continued to be his theme throughout his entire ministries. All the miracles he did were to draw people to repentance. All the teaching that he did was to draw people to repentance. And that's the same for us today. All ministry should only draw people to repentance. Intimacy, the ministry that's going to follow, our intimacy will draw us to repentance. Being intimate with God will draw me to repentance. It will draw me to a place of deliverance. I will walk a lifestyle of deliverance. I will walk in a lifestyle of repentance. God is going to continue to transform my heart, transform my life. He's going to deliver me of mindsets. He's going to deliver me of thought patterns, and I'll be repenting of, and that will all be a result out of intimacy with God. And then we go into this new birth. Jesus calls his disciples, and I'm going to just, if I may, spiritualize it for today, into new birth. When we know Jesus, when we are intimate with God, so as Matthew chapter 7 says, I never knew you, that word know refers to an intimate connection or union as between woman and man. It's the same word as Adam knew Eve, or as Joseph, Adam knew Eve, and there's multiple. It's an intimate relationship, and that is the same intimacy that God wants to know you. He wants to know who you are. He wants you to come into his presence. And so often when we come in with our to-do list, we're coming in, if I may use the word, we're coming in on birth control. We are too busy to have new souls in our life. We are too busy to be able to reach to more people because we can't reach around. We're coming in on birth control because we have our to-do list. And then as soon as we're in, we give him the to-do list. Master, servant, father, do this. Husband, do this, and I'm going to go back out in the field because I'm too busy working. And you're going to wear yourself out. You're going to kill yourself spiritually, physically. You're going to have way too many stresses in your life. And yet, when we come into his presence with intimacy, there will be new birth. There will be new disciples. There will be people who are set free. That will not be your focus in life. Your focus will be to know Jesus. But there will be people around you who are going to experience freedom. They're going to experience deliverance. They're going to experience Jesus for the first time. There's going to be new birth. And you're going to be excited about it. And you will be refreshed and you will have time for it. because it won't be dependent upon just your time. It won't just be dependent upon you. When we spend time with our lover, he reveals himself, and you will take on his nature. You will become like him. When I love spending time with DeAndre and with Owen, and this morning again, I'm playing there a little with DeAndre before we left. Don't check at the time we came to church, or else you'd have said I had to quit earlier. And but playing with him, different times I'll see Krista come through. He carries her DNA. Krista is in DeAndre. He cannot hide that. And for the rest of his life, he will carry her DNA. But spending time with DeAndre or spending time with Owen is not spending time with my spouse. When you spend time with your spiritual children, if I may, the people who you have led to the Lord, who God has brought into your life, is not spending time with your lover. It is not spending time with your father. That is not enough. That is not being intimate. If you're teaching a Bible study, that is not, if you're preaching a message or leading worship, that is not spending time with Jesus. This is not my intimate time with the Master right now. And nor is it even always leading up to it. You study to know God. You don't study to preach. You don't study to lead worship. You study to know Jesus. You study to know him, who he is. And yet, how often do we get focused on the babies in our life? The baby needs finances. The baby needs a word. The baby doesn't need a word. I need a word from the Lord. Quit focusing on those around you so much. And I'm speaking to myself here as well. I need to quit focusing on those around me and start focusing on myself and my relationship with God. Rather than just having a word for other people in my life, Lord, give me a word for me. Show me what I need to hear. Tell me what I need to hear. Show me what I need to see. If you love me, you will feed my sheep. So we jump in, we're feeding the sheep. And we miss the whole point. If you love me. It's not about feeding the sheep, it's about if you love him. If you love me, then you will feed my sheep. Not about the sheep, it's about our love. So I encourage you to go on a date with Jesus. Spend time with him. Block out, when you go on a date, when you block off an evening and you go out and there's not a care in the world, your phone may be turned on silent, it's definitely not going to be on the table, and you're going to go and be intentional and spend time with your spouse, with your partner. And that's what God is wanting you, to go on a date with him. He wants you to gaze upon his face with intent and with purpose. Not any distraction in the world. Start to treat Jesus as your husband. Don't treat him as just father of the ministry. Don't just treat him as father in your life, but start to treat him as your lover. He wants to go on a date with you. You are not his servant. You are his bride. You are not God's servant. You are Christ's bride. You were created to rest. And recently I've been challenged on this, is how busy have I made myself in my life? And I've been challenged that I have been created to rest. If I keep running and running and running, eventually you're going to run out. There's going to be nothing more that you can run. And yet, in the Old Testament, if you did not rest, if you worked on the Sabbath, you were killed. You were stoned. It wasn't just you should rest this day if you can. It was a command of God. You were created to rest. And yet, today, so often we find ourselves busy. Busy, busy, busy with good, good things. But we're so busy trying to serve the Lord that we forget to know the Lord. And then we disclaim it as saying, at least I'm doing it for the Lord. You cannot do it for the Lord if you're disobeying the Lord. You cannot serve and serve and serve the Lord when he's asking you to rest and to slow down. You cannot do that for the Lord if you're doing it out of disobedience. If he's asking you just to take a step back, say no to this or that or the other thing. I just want to know you myself. That will come. Yes, be zealous for good works. But that's not your priority. Make sure that our foundation is based on Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus wants you to do ministry, but he only wants you to do it from a place of rest, a place of intimacy. It is essential that we know God before we serve others. And Jesus goes on here. I kind of skipped some of the verses in Matthew 4. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is the kingdom of heaven? I want you to put some thought into that. I'm not going to speak into, I have some thoughts written down. I'm not going to go there this morning. Ray put me on a timeline, so I better wrap it up. But we're going to skip over the kingdom of heaven. I'd encourage you to study it out, though. What is the kingdom of heaven? When does it come? When does it start? And how does it look in your life? Verse 23 to 25 is where Jesus, you start seeing some, what I'd like to call the signs and wonders, the miracles. What we in our human minds look at today with so many ministries, and we're like, wow, okay, they're doing something right. God's really moving through them. But he's doing it from a place of intimacy. Here in Jesus went through it all of Galilee. He's teaching in the synagogues. He's proclaiming the gospel. He's healing every disease, every affliction. And his fame is spreading throughout the entire region. They're bringing sick people to him with all sorts of diseases. All sorts of demon-possessed people are coming to him, and he's healing them, and he's healing them all. Ministry is a byproduct, was my point number three. So this ministry that he's involved with, that you and I are involved in, must be a byproduct. It must be a result of our intimacy with God, of us knowing who Jesus Christ is. Signs will follow those who believe. In the end of Mark, these signs will follow them who believe. You will cast out demons. You will heal the sick. You will speak in new tongues. These are signs of them who believe. And let that be your byproduct of your intimacy. Let that not be your focus of your life. We're not about building a legacy or a ministry, but rather we're here to lift up Jesus Christ. Dr. Jeffers, someone who I've listened to, has said, warfare is empowered by the love affair. And then he also went on and said, do you find your validation from ministry or from Jesus? Do we look to Jesus for our validation, or do we find our validation from ministry? Warfare is empowered by the love affair. One of your greatest forms of spiritual warfare is going to be your relationship with Jesus Christ. That will overpower anything else. This last year, my wife and I have been more intentional on having our intimate time with Jesus together. We've went through different phases throughout our marriage. We went through at a time where we did it together, then we did it separate. Then we did it at the same time, maybe separate, maybe together. And we've been more intentional when it works to bring it together, because we are one. And let's fight as one. Let's stand together as one. God cares more about souls than you do. You do not need to worry that when you're bringing this list of, God, I want to spend time with you, but I've got all these things to do. God cares more about those souls than you do. So you do not need to worry that God does not care about them. He knows about them. He knows about all the people in your life. He desires that people are saved more than you desire that people are saved. He would rather have people know him more than you would rather have others know him. So you don't need to worry about bringing that as an excuse to him for why you cannot spend time with him. But God does care more about you than he does about your ministry. God cares more about you than he does about your ministry. He also cares more about the souls around you than what you do as well. So spending time as we ministering to people around us is not spending time with him. That will come. And let that happen. Let that happen. Seek the Spirit, and you're going to have direction on when do you say yes, when do you say no. Do you get involved with an upcoming event, or do you not? There's more than enough people if you say no. And there's more than, and there will be times that you're going to be directed to be involved with whatever God's bringing into your life. Follow the Spirit. Sometimes it's easy to only follow the Word, but we don't follow the Spirit. And what I mean by that is if we're going to be following the Spirit, we're going to know that the Word says to preach the gospel. We know that the Word says to save souls. We know that the Word says you're going to cast out demons. You're going to be healing people. But if you forget to follow the Spirit, you're going to be so busy doing ministry and being a servant that you will forget about yourself and that you are a bride of Christ, or you're part of the bride. We're not all individual brides, but together the church makes up the bride of Christ. In Matthew chapter 7, he ends it off with the wise man and the foolish man. And I like that for ending. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine, and this is referring to the words that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears the words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The winds will come. The rains will come, winds will blow, and people will leave. People will come in our life, people will leave from our life. Are we founded upon a relationship of Jesus Christ? And that is why it's so important that intimacy must be the foundation for what I'm calling, and I'm using the word ministry, but you can use whatever word you end, but caring about souls, caring about people around you. Because as soon as the ministry or the caring about people around you becomes your foundation, people will leave. You're going to face storms in life, and great will be the fall of it. You will burn out. You will collapse. It's not a matter of if, it is a matter of when. So that is why our foundation must be built upon Jesus Christ and him alone. We must know who he is. We must know him intimately. It doesn't matter if everyone leaves. It doesn't matter if everyone walks out of your life at that point, because you will know Jesus. You will know that he looks at you and he tells you that you are beloved. He's going to tell you that you are chosen. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for your life. And it's going to be to know him. You're going to love to spend time in his presence. That will become the highlight of your day, of your life, will be spending time in his presence. Some people, when their lives or their ministry, the winds will blow. Some people will give up. Some will shut down. Others will quit. And other people, when they face those storms in life, the winds blowing, the rains falling, they're going to continue to thrive. And it's almost going to look as if they're thriving better at that point. And it is those people you will know. You know that they have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. They are founded upon him and who he is. They spend time with him. They love to gaze upon his face. Press into Jesus. Continue to go on dates with him. Gaze upon his beauty. Gaze upon his face. Just look at him with intention and with purpose. Find a secret place. Involve your spouse. Learn how to date your Creator. Learn how to be his bride. And you will find out that he calls you his beloved.